Hello there, this is Colin Symes with the sixth in this series of podcasts on worship in the scripture. I just want to remind us of where we've been in the previous podcasts. One of the key things that's come out is that worship is about, in scripture, worship is about giving God all, whether it's Abraham giving Isaac, whether it's Paul calling us to give our bodies as living sacrifices, whether it's David saying, I will not offer the Lord something that costs me nothing. We've seen that there is a cost in worship. There is something costly, something precious about it. We also saw that it's about expression, particularly after the tabernacle of David, when we see music and song and expression and the whole body being involved in worship. And we also saw in our last podcast, with the entry of Jesus as the Son of God into the scene, we then saw the key role that the Holy Spirit plays in enabling the worship of the church, in enabling the worship of his people. And we saw that that enables us by giving us gifts of expression, of song, of tongues, of many things which enable our worship. In this last podcast in the series, I want to focus in on one book. Appropriately, it's the last book in the Bible. And the reason I'm looking at this is because perhaps more than any other book than the Psalms, Revelation is filled with worship. Maybe you haven't noticed it before, but from the very beginning, from the very outset, the content of Revelation, as well as being one of judgment and one of apocalyptic things that are happening, it is full of worship and honor of God. We find this immediately we open the book, because we find in Revelation 1:17, when Jesus appears to John, who's receiving the vision of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, he falls down before Jesus. Now, this falling down reminds us again, right going back to the beginning, back to Abraham, who uses that word shachar, that word to bow down, to go prostrate, to go face down in worship. And so right here at the end of the scriptures, the same thing happens. There's a lot of falling down in Revelation, but it is this bowing down of worship that we've already identified. In Revelation 4 and verse 2, we find the Spirit leads him. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And this is key. We see the role of the Holy Spirit here in giving John these insights, in giving John this revelation. And then we see in chapter 4 and verse 9, we see the creatures that are in heaven. And this is reminiscent of the creatures of Ezekiel, the beginning of Ezekiel, who bear the throne of God around, the mobile glory of God. And they give glory to God. And we're going to look at glory a little while later and just exactly what does that mean, because it's something that occurs throughout the scriptures, but we've not really looked at it so far. And in Revelation 4 and verse 10, the elders, the 24 elders, representing perhaps the tribes of Israel and the apostles of the Lamb, they fall down. Again, this shachar word, this bowing down, this worshipping. And they say to the Lord, to God who sits upon the throne, worthy are you of glory and honor, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they were created. So this is the song of creation. So there's worship for creation in Revelation 4. But then in Revelation chapter 5, the Lamb is revealed. John looks and he sees the Lamb. He's looking for the Lion of Judah, but he sees the Lamb on the throne in Revelation 5:7. And he sees the Lamb take the book which is offered, that the book which tells the whole story of salvation and is sealed up, and that he is able to open it. And at this point in chapter 5 and verse 8, the creatures and the elders fall down. Again, there's this constant theme. The creatures and the elders are falling down. They're worshipping. But also, they have harps and there is incense. So the senses are involved here. There's the song. There's even the sense of smell is involved in worship. And they are given this wonderful song, a song that is recorded here. Worthy is the Lamb to take the seal, to take the book and to open its seals. For you were slain and by your blood you've ransomed men for God. And then there's the sound of thousands singing this song, joining with the elders and the creatures in Revelation 5, verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb, and to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb is glory, be glory. And then the elders and bow down again, and they say, Amen, and they worship. And the actual word is used there. They worship, this proskynesis word that we looked at in the New Testament, this kissing towards, this valuing, this worth, giving worth to God. That's there in Revelation 5, verse 14. What an amazing picture this is painting of this atmosphere of worship that is there in heaven. While all these things are unfolding on earth, and while earth is going through the pangs, the birth pangs of its birth into the new heaven and the new earth, there is worship going on in heaven. It's very interesting, the Revelation 8 and verse 1, there's been so much noise and sound that John notices that there's silence in heaven for half an hour. And it's worth noting there is a place for silence in worship, but we find in worship and Revelation, there's so much noise and sound and voices. Trumpets come after this silence, and obviously the trumpets are announcing the judgment. But then we move on to Revelation 11, 15, and it says there are great voices, a multitude singing and worshipping. And the elders again worship in Revelation 11, 16, and they say, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, for you have begun to reign. This is the revelation of God's kingship on earth. And it says, God, you have begun to reign. You've taken of your great power. You have begun to reign. And then Revelation 14 and verse 1, the 144,000 appear, the redeemed of God, the symbolic of the tribes of Israel. That's the 12 times 12 times thousands. But we notice that they have harps and they sing a new song. And what's interesting about this new song is it's not recorded. We don't know what this new song is because it says no person can sing it. So there's even new songs that are not written down. And isn't this amazing? Are you getting this sense of the worship of heaven, the worship that is going on in the presence of God? Then in Revelation 15 and verse 8, the temple has been revealed. Now, this is really interesting. Obviously, the temple had been destroyed in 17 AD, the temple in Jerusalem, but it's as though the temple has been transported into heaven. And there also is revealed earlier on the Ark of God. And so there's the worship of God, the place where Israel has been used to worshiping is now revealed as the place in heaven. And it says here that the glory of the Lord fills the temple. Now, let me just say something about glory, because I haven't spoken about it, and it's quite an important factor. We know that throughout the story of Israel and the story of the church, that the glory of God comes. The word glory in Hebrew is a very interesting one. The word is kavod, and it appears obviously in the time of the people of Israel in the tabernacle in the desert. The glory of God comes down and fills the tabernacle. It comes down on the tabernacle as a cloud, and it says that the priests were not able to stand to minister. It seems that when the glory of God comes, no one can enter. In fact, it says it here in Revelation 15, that no one can enter the temple when the glory of God comes down. Now, this word kavod comes from a Hebrew word that means heavy, full of weight, weighty, gravity. And there's something about this fact that when God comes in his presence, in his full presence, then he just sits upon us. Maybe you've been in situations sometimes where you've been filled with awe and wonder at God's presence. And again, just going back to that phrase, wow, you've just said wow before God. Something comes down upon us, something weighty. Not only that, but also when something weighty comes near, imagine that the moon is a good example of this. The moon, although it's just a small body, has an effect on the earth. It controls the tides. The tides go back and forth because of the gravity of the moon. And in the same way, God, in his power, in his glory, in his gravity, he has an effect on the people who worship him. The Jewish teachers have a word for the glory of God as well. They call it the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah doesn't appear in scripture as such, but it's a word that's used. It means the dwelling presence of God, the Shekhinah. But in Scripture, it's called the Kavod Adonai, the glory of God. And here, at the end, in the last things, it says that the glory of God fills this temple, which at this point is in heaven. So we want the glory of God to come. We want to call on his glory, because as his glory comes, he comes towards us, but he also draws himself. There's something that we gravitate towards God. He wants us to be drawn towards him. And then Revelation 19, verse 1, when the earth is coming towards this new birth with heaven coming into it as well. In Revelation 19, 1, people are saying, many people, multitudes of people, there's this expression, multitudes, voice of many waters. And interestingly, they are saying, at the end of the scripture, they're saying, hallelujah. Oh, the tabernacle of David again. Hallelujah. Isn't it interesting that in a Greek written book, because John is writing in Greek, this Hebrew word makes a reappearance. Hallelujah. In fact, it makes an appearance three times in this chapter. It's interesting that this word, it's almost as though it can't be translated. It means go crazy for God. Just be totally, totally given over to his praise. Let everything else just fall away. And they're singing in heaven here, hallelujah, salvation and glory belong to God. He is true and he is righteous. Hallelujah. And again, the elders and creatures fall down. And we read that in Revelation 19 and verse 4. And lastly, there's the voice of the multitude, the voice of many waters. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. And then as we're drawing towards the end of Revelation, in Revelation 21, the new heaven and the new earth comes. And this is an amazing moment where heaven and earth come together, and the earth has been through its birth pangs and it's coming into that new place where heaven is able to join with it. And the bride is prepared for God, and the bride of the Lamb is prepared, and he meets his bride. And that's in Revelation 19 as well. Just before that, that the Lamb who's been the Lamb's bride who's been prepared for him is caught up with him. And then actually at one point in Revelation 19:10, John wants to fall down before the angel who's speaking to him, and the angel says to him, worship God, not me, because the testimony of Jesus is the key to prophecy, is the spirit of prophecy. This is all about Jesus. This is all focused on him. This is what the this is what the bride has been fashioned for. This is what the bride has been made for the Lamb and for coming to him. And so in this new heaven and new earth in Revelation 21:3, God says something very interesting as heaven and earth come together in this final opening up of the ages. And he says, the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle, the Greek word is iskini. Skini is a tent. It's a temporary dwelling place. But isn't that amazing that here at the end of time, at the coming of the heaven and earth together in this last phase of God's plan for earth, it's the tabernacle of God that is with men. It's looking back to that place again in the desert where the people of God moved around. It was a mobile glory of God. When the glory of God moved, the people moved. And we're still seeing that this is what God wants. And actually, it says very specifically in Revelation 21:22, there is no temple in this new Jerusalem, in this new heaven and this new earth. We've seen the temple that was kept in heaven there, and the glory of God filled it. But that temple has now gone, because now we're going back to the place where God is free to move with his people. There's no temple. And in fact, the temple, the temple is the Lamb and the one who sits on the throne. God himself will be the temple in this new city. And lastly, there's the river of life that is flowing out from the throne of God. There's a river that is being seen coming out. And of course, this river goes back, it harks back to the sign of Ezekiel, In Ezekiel 47, in Revelation 22:1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And of course, we know that Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit as being the river of God. And this brings healing, the Holy Spirit brings healing, Revelation 22:2. And there's no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, it says in Revelation 22:4. They will see his face, and his name will be emblazoned on their foreheads. There'll be no more night nor light of the sun, because God is their light. And thus it finishes. Oh, how it makes our hearts sing. How it makes us just rise up inside to know that this is what God has for his people. This place where there's going to be worship, there's going to be praise, there's going to be honor, there's going to be the declaration of the worthiness of the Lamb of God, the coming together of heaven and earth, the dwelling place, the tabernacle of God being with men. Does this not make your heart sing that we are in this unfolding drama of the time between Jesus' resurrection and the time of his coming again? We are living in this place, and therefore our worship can join with the worship of those who've already gone before us. I believe that before the throne of God and the Lamb, with the river flowing from the throne, there is constant worship as we drink from that river of life that Jesus promised to us. Then worship will rise up. We will want to give God everything. We will want to give him costly worship. We will want to give him expression. We will want to move our bodies. We will want to give our voices. We will want the Lord, as he opens our lips, we will want to declare his praise. What an amazing invitation we have. Where does this leave us then at the end of this series of podcasts? It leaves us with a clear invitation. Going back again to that scripture we've already quoted a number of times in Romans 12 and verse 1, where Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brothers and sisters, give yourselves as living sacrifices, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing and acceptable to God, because this is your reasonable worship," some translations say. This is the worship that is logical. You can't help but do anything else, because this is our response to this amazing God. May we who have traveled this journey, maybe considering worship in the scriptures, may we be among those who are continuing that worship, which will culminate in the coming together of heaven and earth. And may you yourself know that river of life flowing into you and flowing out of you by the presence and person of the Holy Spirit. Let me just close in prayer. Living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one who sits on the throne, the Lamb, and the river of life, we bless you, we honor you, we worship you, we glorify you. We say that, yes, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and blessing and power and dominion and strength. And Jesus, is because you were slain, and by your blood you have redeemed us to God, and made us priests, made us those who can express your worship, made us those who can express the worship of creation. And Lord, as we have considered this amazing privilege that we have to be your worshippers, will you make us those who worship in spirit and in authenticity? Show us, Lord, new ways. Show us, Lord, new methods. Show us, Lord, new things that we can do to express more that sacrifice of praise. May we, Lord, be those who don't offer you something that costs us nothing. Show us, Lord, how to give more and more of our life, of our being, of our body, of our voice, of our thought, of our creativity to you. I thank you, Lord, for those who have shared this journey. I ask your blessing upon them, the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Resource and inspire our worship, and bring us at last to that tabernacle of God with men in the new heaven and the new earth. And I ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.